It's time for our weekly visit with PolitiFact Virginia here on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition each Tuesday morning. We call in one of the fact checkers from PolitiFact Virginia at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And today, editor Warren Fisk is visiting with us. Hi, Warren.
Hi, Wayne.
Well, we have about three items to ask you about that appeared recently in the PolitiFact Virginia column by you and your colleagues. U.S. Senate candidate Tim Kaine made a claim on the campaign trail that Virginia women earn only 79 cents to each dollar earned by men. So you checked the facts and figures on that, and what was your conclusion?
Mm-hmm. Well, Kaine put out a fundraising letter. He was lamenting the defeat of the Paycheck Fairness Act in the U.S. Senate earlier this month, which would give employees some protection against when they challenge pay discrimination. And Kaine's figures come from the U.S. Census Bureau, which tracks the annual figures earned by each sex. And in 2010, women did earn 79% of the annual pay that men received. But there's a bit of a catch here, and the reason is that women tend to work fewer hours than men, so you really don't get a great comparison when you're looking at annual pay. There's been a number of studies, most of these are national, but they conclude that there are many reasons for the pay gap, and many of them go beyond sexism. Women, as we said, work fewer hours than men. They tend to choose occupations that have relatively lower paying wages than men. They tend to have degrees in lower paying occupations than men. And they have shorter working histories and, of course, take more time off for child care reasons. There's a group called Consett Research Corporation in Pittsburgh, and they did a study. And in 2009, they concluded that perhaps 4 to 7% of the pay gap may be due to discrimination, gender discrimination, and that the rest is due to other reasons. So we felt that Kaine's statement was accurate as far as the numbers went, but his claim is a little bit off in that it suggests that women are paid only 79% of the wages of men, even when their qualifications and their occupations and their work hours are identical. And that's really not the case. So we rated the claim mostly true.
All right. Now, his opponent, Republican George Allen, made a claim that when he was governor back in the 90s, he helped to stop college costs from rising as much as they had been. True or false?
Well, we rated this one true. And back in the early 1990s, the state was in a recession, and it cut back on funding to colleges and universities, and the institutions made up the money by raising tuition about 12% a year. The economy improved shortly before Allen became governor in 1994, and then Governor Doug Wilder, in his final budget, proposed that tuition increases be frozen at 5% for in-state students. Allen, in his first month in office, called for a 3% cap, and the General Assembly went along with that. In 1996, the economy was booming, and Allen called for a two-year freeze on any tuition increases for in-state students. And he was able to offset that with a $200 million increase in state funding for colleges. And the General Assembly went along with that. Allen, in his farewell budget, he called for extending the freeze another 2 years, and the state's financial condition was so strong back then that Jim Gilmore came to office in 1998 and was actually able to cut tuition by 20%. You know, that was a long time ago, and tuition's been soaring for a number of years, and the rule is sort of during good times, the state has got money that it can invest in colleges, and during bad times, the state tends to cut funding to colleges, knowing that the colleges can get the money back by raising tuition. George Allen governed in good times, and he did freeze tuitions.
Okay. Now, you guys also keep track of governors' campaign promises, the governors of the various states where there are PolitiFact counterparts. And on the Bobometer, you recently looked into a promise made by Bob McDonnell when he was running that he would expand the state's rainy day fund. How's he doing on that?
He's doing pretty well on that. The rainy day fund, which is used when the state's facing bad economic times, was increased from about a cap of about $1.4 billion for the total fund to about a cap of $2.1 billion for the total fund. Voters approved this in a referendum back in 2010. Bob McDonnell came to office in early 2010. He endorsed the referendum. It was approved in November 2010, and they're building back the rainy day fund. They've drawn on it a great deal during the recent recession, but the maximum size of the fund has increased, and we rated this a promise kept.
All right. Thanks to Warren Fisk at PolitiFact Virginia. We have a PolitiFact Virginia segment each Tuesday morning here on WCVE.